Got your attention today to the book of Ephesians. Today we finish up our study on the armor of God, spiritual warfare. That has been our subject for quite some time. Today we're going to focus on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to go back to the beginning of the reading. Okay, I want to read the whole passage as kind of a quick little review. We're not going to spend a lot of time going back and re-preaching what we've already preached for the last month. But just so we have the whole picture. Okay, Ephesians chapter 17 and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? My goodness, I hope things get better. I just told you we're going to start in 10, and I keep saying 17. So, pray that the Lord will clear up the cobwebs this morning. Verse 10, Paul says, "And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, rulers against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." That's our goal. We're able to stand against the attacks, the spiritual attacks of the demons of hell and Satan himself. Now, verse 14. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take..." Here's where we start today. "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me," this is Paul, "and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Again, hold your place in your Bibles and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of your word, of looking into your word and hearing from you, Lord. And I pray that's just what will happen today, that every one of us, Lord, will hear from you through this study. Father, empower us, equip us, Lord, that we may stand against the spiritual attacks of the evil one. For Lord, there is a battle and it's raging. And we know that we of ourselves do not have the power to stand. But Lord, when we equip ourselves with this spiritual armor, we know we cannot be defeated. So Lord, help us to be diligent, that we take on the whole armor, that we use it, Lord, wisely as we advance forward for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now today, again, we start with the helmet of salvation. And you know, the helmet is, that's nothing new. The helmet is very simply head protection. But it is interesting that the helmet is the last thing, the last piece of armor that you put on before you charge into battle. It's the last thing, you know, when you put the helmet on, that says, "Okay, Satan, here we go. The fight's on." And in reality, you know, quite honestly, most Christians never get to this point because most Christians don't want to fight. And I've, the one thing I want you to get out of this series of messages is that there is a spiritual war going on. And Satan attacks. You don't have to be beat up and beaten down, but you will be if you do not equip yourself to take a stand against the devil. Yeah. And so I want you to understand this is really a common passage of Scripture. And we've heard about these Scriptures all of our lives, you know, the shield of faith and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We're not running a fashion show here. All these things are a must if you're going to fight against the attacks of the devil. And the only option is you either fight him or you be beat up by him, because I promise you, he's going to attack, right? So as we take this helmet, this head protection of salvation, I want you to understand what that means. First of all, it's one of Satan's oldest strategies, is to get into the mind of the child of God. Mess with your way of thinking. Now, he does this, first of all, by casting doubt or whispering words of doubt. And those words of doubt are something like this. He whispers, "You know, you're not good enough to be saved. You know that if you were saved, if you were really saved, you wouldn't have did what you did last week. Yeah, you know you don't deserve to be saved. You don't look like you're saved. And you don't feel like you're saved." And so what happens? Well, a lot of Christians, they just cower down and say, "Oh no. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't feel saved." I don't know how many times I've heard that. But Brother Doug, I don't feel saved. You know where that comes from? You think you've got to feel saved? That's from the book of "It Ain't In There." Nowhere in the Bible does it say you should be saved if you feel saved. As a matter of fact, more times than not, I've determined that I cannot trust how I feel, because my feelings will lead me astray. What can you trust in? You've got to trust in the truth. You've got to have that helmet of salvation, that head put on straight. And where do you get that? Well, turn to the book of Romans chapter 9. I want you to leave here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. That's the first part, the goal here. Okay? Romans chapter 9. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 10. I'm having a terrible time with my scripture quoting today. But just overlook my weaknesses, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I want you to read this. It says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, or in easier terms, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you may possibly be saved. It's not what it says. It says, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and if you feel saved, no. It says you will be saved. Period. That is a certainty. Have you done that? And I hear a lot of times, you know, people say, "Well, I remember when I was a child, I know I prayed a prayer, but I don't remember everything." I said, again, it's not in there. Here's the deal. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, knowing He is the Son of God who rose from the grave, who died for your sins, but He rose from that grave, and today He is alive and well and seated at the right hand of God? If you know that, if you have received that, then praise God, you know where you're going. You don't have to cower down. As I read this, I could just see that soldier, you know, in the foxhole with the bullets whizzing by his head and the bombs going off around him, and other soldiers drawing their weapons and firing at the enemy. And then this one poor soldier just in the fetal position in the foxhole said, "Oh, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die." What's wrong with that one poor soldier? It's up here.
Listen, folks, there's a war going on. The thing you've got to know is where you're going. You've got to know whose side you're on. Romans 10:13. Again, I love this passage of Scripture. I use it all the time. But you've got to know it is the truth of God. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. There's no ifs, ands, buts, maybes, feelings. I don't remember. I didn't do enough. I wonder if I really knew what I... No. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Have you received Jesus? Then, beloved, once you receive Jesus, you are forevermore a child of God. And you don't have to worry about that anymore. But Satan not only casts doubt, he gives you disinformation. He tells you, yeah, you were saved, but you know you lost it. You know you lost it. There's no way that you still got it after what you've done. Again, turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:30. These are probably scriptures you should jot down as ammunition for the future. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This is the last part I want you to get. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know the glorious part of your salvation is when you called upon Jesus Christ, you were sealed by the Spirit of God, and Satan himself cannot break that seal. You can't break it. Other people can't break it. Satan can't break it. Praise God. The only one that can open up that seal is the owner of that seal. And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't lose what you've got. You've been sealed forevermore. But it doesn't stop right there. John chapter 6. Turn over there with me. I know we're doing a lot of Bible running today, but you need this. We need this, right? John chapter 6 and verse 37. When somebody throws that out there, well, I just don't think you can be saved and live and, you know. Well, it's, if you're saved and you're not living right, guess what happens? God chastises those whom He loves. He corrects those. He brings us back. But in John chapter 6, verse 37, I want you to get this. Verse 37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You know what that means? That if once you come to Jesus Christ, He's not going to ever throw you out of the kingdom. That by no means, that's by saying, no matter what, I'm not going to throw you out of the kingdom. Right? You can't lose what I've given. You've been sealed by the Spirit. And glory to God, when you're in the heat of battle, and like I say, the bullets are whizzing by, and bombs are going on around you, and the fiery darts of Satan are hitting you, and you're having these doubts, you just stand up and quote Romans 10:13, devil, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can't do anything about that. That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. You got to know, this stuff you got to know. If you're going to go to war, you got to get that head on straight. Then you go on in our study, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is where it gets good. Right? This is your weapon. You put on that helmet and you pick up
your weapon. And this is the only offensive weapon that you have. Right? And it is an offensive weapon as well as a defensive weapon. And when I say offensive, I mean where we're on the attack. Where we're moving forward. Where we're taking ground for the glory of God. Yeah. No longer are we hiding behind that shield. No longer are we digging in and being stubborn and removing and refusing to be moved. This is where we start moving forward and taking ground for the glory of God. But I want you to notice. There in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What's the only weapon you have, the offensive weapon you have? It's the Word of God. Okay? That's all you got. I'm not a gun expert. But I personally think they're pretty cool. I've got a few of them at home, right? Every once in a while I like to go out and fire them. Just enjoy it. You know, Beth and I do that together on occasion. As I said, I'm not an expert. But there's one thing that I know. If I don't load the gun, it does not go bang. Right? Until I put ammunition in that gun, it's just a useless piece of iron. It don't work. Just because you've got a Bible does not mean you're armed. You've got to take what's in here and you've got to put it in here. That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got to arm yourself. You've got to load the weapon. You've got to get into the Word of God. And be ready to present that word or to pour that word out of God out during the attacks of the devil. 2 Timothy 2:15. Turn over there with me if you would. Need to see this too. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. It says, be diligent. You know what that word diligent means? It means spare no effort. Work hard. Do your best, right? So we can say, spare no effort to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, right? Work hard to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed. How do you do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, not only do you need to understand, to have the Scripture, you've got to know how to apply the Scripture. The right Scripture for the right place. Again, I'm not a gun expert, but one thing I have learned, we've got to, I bought Beth, I think it was for her birthday, Christmas, I bought her a neat little 22, pistol. And you know what I learned? See, I've got this 9mm pistol. She's got this 22 pistol. The ammunition for my 9mm will not fit into her 22. Won't work. It's the inappropriate ammunition for that weapon. Right? What am I getting at? Listen. You've got to not only know Scripture, you've got to know how to apply Scripture to the right situation. Okay? You've got to know how to apply the Scripture for the right situation. Are you afraid? Are you living in fear? You know that the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. But do you know to pull that out when you're afraid? You see, when Satan comes and he threatens you and you're afraid and you say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, what you're doing is going, boom! Take that, Satan. Are you facing death? Doctor gives you that piece of news like it's not going to be long now. You know, you're just holding on. What do? You pull out old Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're telling me, boom! See, you've got to know enough scripture that when Satan attacks from in front, behind, and from every side, you've got to know where to pull from. I love how Jesus did it. Turn to Matthew 4. Jesus' temptation. See, Jesus, he went to the mountain to pray. And there he fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Can you imagine? 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. And you know, Satan's going to come when you're weak, right? And that's what he does here with Jesus. The Bible says he was hungry. But I want you to notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan had just told Jesus. Said, you hungry? Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? Just turn these stones into bread. You don't have to be hungry. You don't have to trust that God will feed you. You have the power. You do it. And I love how Jesus addressed it. He addressed it, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written. Jesus didn't say, well, Satan, let's discuss this. Well, Satan, you know, my opinion is. Well, oh, devil, you know, I don't. He didn't even converse with him. He just said, it is written. Put it in modern day terms, the Bible says. That's what we'd say, right? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what Jesus did? Satan tempted him, and Jesus pulled out the scripture and says, boom, take that. Oh, but Satan didn't quit. See, he doesn't give up easy. He come back again and took him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're really the Son of God, cast yourself down, because God's supposed to take care of you. He's given the angels charge over you so that you won't even dash your foot on a stone, just to see if he really will. Cast yourself off this pinnacle. You know what Jesus said? Verse 7. Jesus said to him, oh, there's that phrase again, it is written, the Bible says, right? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Boom! Shot two. You realize Jesus hadn't even argued. He hasn't. He just said, the Bible says. Now that's how you deal with Satan. Right? That's how you deal. And that's why you got to know what the Bible says. Then he goes on and Satan shows him the glory of the world and says, I'll give it all to you, Jesus, if you just fall down and worship me. And Jesus said again, verse 10, for it is written. I love that phrase. There's power there. The Bible says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Boom! You know what Satan did? Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Then the devil, what? Left him. Let me tell you what. Oh, Satan, he can take a few shots, but he can only take so many shots at one time. You want to get rid of the devil? Load your weapon and use it. I really and truly do not believe that the average child of God understands the power that is there. And I'm not talking about speed reading. I'm not talking about reading through your Bible. All that's good and fine, and I would encourage you to do so. But folks, you got to commit some of it to your heart so that you can carry it with you. Because there are times during the day that we're attacked. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have time to go into my Bible and say, oh, how does this apply? I've got to have it here. And there's some basic Bible knowledge you've got to have to knock old Satan back on his heels. Then finally, back where we started. We took the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's where we call in the airstrike. Here's where, you know, we're behind enemy lines, right? We're fighting the prince and the power of this world. We're behind enemy lines, and every once in a while, you just got to call in for reinforcements, got to call in for that airstrike. Say, God, help me. I'm over my head. I'm overwhelmed by the enemy. I've got to have your deliverance. And that's what this is talking about. And praying always, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. See, this is not part of the armor. This is just fact. You've got to be in constant communication with the commander-in-chief, with the general, the one who's calling the shots. It says you got to pray in the Spirit. You understand what that means? Praying in the Spirit means praying in agreement with the Spirit. That means you're not praying anything that the Holy Spirit of God Himself would not be asking for you. You desire what God desires. Not my will, but thy will be done kind of attitude. Right? That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. It also means to have a spirit of prayer. If you notice, again, it says pray with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's a lot of alls there, right? What he's saying is that every day, in every situation, throughout the day, you're always in this prayerful relationship with God. Now, please don't misunderstand me. This is good that you have designated prayer time during the day. Right? You need that during the day, or that designated prayer time. But don't let that be your only prayer time. Okay? When you get up off your knees, it's not it's not these things we ask in the name of Jesus. We're signing off now, Lord. Talk to you tomorrow. Amen. That's not it. Yes, you have that designated prayer, but when you get off your knees, you get off your knees with the attitude, I'm ready to pray about anything, anyone, anywhere, whatever comes my way, I'm still ready to pray. And you walk out and you meet a poor dear saint that's having trouble. Pray. And you're struck by that attack from Satan that you didn't see coming. Pray. That as you go throughout the day, there should be repeated times of prayer. You know, that even if you're not being challenged, just stop. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I have a day that Satan hadn't challenged me yet. But pray, pray, pray. No matter where you are, it should be a part of every day, all day. I used to become quite disappointed because I've had prayer time for a long time, but after I get up off my knees and finish that prayer time, it's like, okay, I'm done with that. Now I can move on to other things. No. Prayer's that thing you got to carry with you all day. Because that's like that, You know, that's being armed, to be quite honest with you. It's being armed, ready to draw that weapon. You've got to have that spirit of prayer, and constant contact with the commander-in-chief. And then finally, praying in the Spirit means pray for the spiritual things. You've heard me say this numerous times, but we're very worldly in our prayers. You know what we pray for? We pray for things like, Lord, get my kid into a good college. Lord, help my kid to make high ACT grades. ACT grades so that they can get a scholarship. Lord, help my kids do well on this test. Or if it's not our kids, it's us. Lord, help my business to be successful. Lord, things are getting a little tight around my business. Help my business to prosper. Or, one of my favorites is, Lord, give me that new job. Lord, I really want that new job because I make more money and I'd really like to have more money. Look what Paul asked them to pray for here. He said, if you need something to pray for, let me give you something to pray. And pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here's a man who's at war with the devil. You see, he's not praying for more money. He's not praying for a big church. He's not praying for big crowds. His prayer is very, very simple. His prayer and asking them to pray for him, he's not telling about his thorn in the flesh. I've had this thorn in the flesh. And I prayed and prayed and God won't remove it. Y'all help me pray for it. No, he's not praying for good health, not well-being. He's praying that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's his prayer. Listen, if you don't have anything to pray about, let me help you. Insert my name in this part of the scripture. Right? That old brother Doug may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And just pray that one thing for me. Right? And I'd so much appreciate it. We've got to be spiritual in our prayer life. Praying not for stuff, but for the glory of God. Right? When Jesus prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. You remember how he finished that prayer? But not my will, thine be done. That has to be our prayer. That Lord, I'm living that your will be done. I'm living that to you be the glory. Lord, my life is all about your glory. And that's why I want to fight. I'll be honest with you, the farther we've gone in this study, the more excited I've become about this study. Because it's given me assurance of where we are today. Where we are as a culture, where we are as a nation. There is a war going on. And we can sit around and complain about it and whine about it. Oh, our country's just falling apart. And that does absolutely no good. Or we can suit up and go to war. I'm not talking about fighting people. Not talking about being ugly to people. I'm talking about taking on the devil. Right? I'm talking about being ready with the Word of God to be on the offense. When you're presented with that challenge, you're ready with the Word of God to not only respond to that challenge, but to knock Satan back when he attacks. Shouldn't that be our goal? You know, today's, or this week is Memorial Day weekend. And y'all know I'm ex-Air Force. I'm very proud of our men and women who have served. I'm very proud of those who are currently serving. Thank you, brother. I know that we have the country we have because men and women have been willing to fight. I want to tell you something. We have the faith, the gospel that we have because men and women have been willing to fight the spiritual battle. I thank God for the Apostle Paul, who said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He saw that. You see, he gave his life for the Word of God. Like all the disciples, Peter, who mistake after mistake after mistake, yet he'd keep coming back and he'd keep coming back. And God used him in a mighty way. He was a veteran of the spiritual war. James, John, all the apostles. Men in the Old Testament, men like Moses, Abraham, King David. All veterans who fought the spiritual battle. Listen, we have such a heritage of spiritual warriors that we cannot afford not to be fighting today. When we stand before the Lord, may we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Let us be warriors in the kingdom of God. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're fighting the war, but you don't know how to fight. Listen, what you need to know is this. Jesus gave His life to pay for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. You need to know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to know that you're a prayer away from salvation. And I would encourage you to receive the love of Jesus. You start your walk with God today by calling upon Jesus and making Him the Lord, Savior, Commander-in-Chief of your life. Whatever your spiritual need, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I would invite you to come. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You. We thank You for the rich spiritual heritage that You've given us. The warriors of the faith who have demonstrated. Who have demonstrated their faithfulness for us to see. Father, I pray that You would help us to be faithful. That we would take our spiritual stand for You. That would honor You and glorify You. To You be the glory. Now we pray Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.